Blog Talk Radio. divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are listening now live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Bobea Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective. Understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, my personal reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, and my works along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding. The place from where I begin and the place from where I crystallize and realize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny. And I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is Friday, October 5th, 2012, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally, from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Thai Mecca, Thai Potions, and Hoodoo Central, here in the legendary, historic, beautiful, and enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along the spiritualist hoodoo obey a life path and journey, passing down the great Obeah stick along with the knowledge of healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, and minerals. I am truly honored and grateful by your continued support here at High Noon U.S. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, and always in archive at your leisure and convenience every single day, every single moment of the day here at www.blogtalkradio.com/the Divine Prince. And make sure you put the hyphen, the subtraction mark, if you will, the dash in between the Divine Prince. My live listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will be more than happy to assist you in moving forward. I will be forward with more of the Power Lunch Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here today on Blog Talk Radio. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe. Thank you. Here in this legendary, historic beautiful and enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana. In that Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard corridor, neighbors to Ashe Cultural Arts Center, I could actually hit throw a rock and hit Ashe from my backyard. I am indeed truly always honored and grateful by your participation, your commitment, your sponsorship to this show, The Power Lunch, Voodoo New Orleans, Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here at High Noon U.S. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. My live listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will be more than happy to assist you moving forward. And do be mindful that my website, where I can be reached virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, operating 360 degrees of well-documented revelation and manifestation, is www.houseunderdivineprince.com. I will be forward with more of The Power Lunch, Voodoo New Orleans, Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here at 347-215-8967. If you indeed have a question or comment, you can press the number 1, and I will be more than happy to bring anyone of you in on the conversation. Otherwise, the spirit is high. Let me just say, many of you are talking about it, are recording it, are experiencing it in all of its diversity of ways. But indeed, something is happening. Something is shifting. Something is changing. It is having a multitude of effects on people, on individuals, on groups, on organizations, all things starting with the individual. And people are having to make some decisions. People are having to make some choices. You're going to have to make some changes. That's just how it is. We can deny that. We can overlook that. We can romanticize that. We can try and escape that. But as I said in December of 11 and in January of 2012, things will never again be the same. That which we have known and have accepted and have embraced and have understood will never be the same. Our time of playing catch-up, it's really over. We still have to move forward. We still have to grow. We still have to learn. We still have to evolve. We still have to raise children. We still have to care for our communities. Absolutely. But our time for sort of a leisurely stroll, if you will, through life, through spirit, and taking that seriously, is behind us. The day of our grandparents and our parents, and even some of us, about childhood, those times are gone. And we will never see those times again. We are moving into something new. And I'm careful not to, because some people automatically make new, make change, make movement a negative. And that is really not a part of the African consciousness. We've always had nomadic people. We've always had reason, by way of nature, to move and to embrace change and evolvement of nature. Even if it meant fruit was more plentiful over here, the berries were sweeter over there, the water was clearer over here, there were always reasons for movement. And so we have embraced a sedimentary lifestyle, not only physically, but just showing up in all of our pharmaceuticals and our health issues and you know, and whatnot, our children. But we've also become sedimentary emotionally. Many of you would agree the TV plays a big role in that. You know, we don't have to use our imagination. We don't have to pick up crayons, chalk, paint, finger paint, mud, clay, you know, and actively utilize the what I would consider the more spiritual part, nature of our consciousness. We don't have to do that. We have to go out of our way to do that now. We plan to do that now. You know, depending on where you are in the world, you know, they have retail establishments now that provide that sort of entertainment, if you will, for a fee, you know, which is ridiculous. Someone like me, who grew up on Saturdays, Wapani and myself, you know, making things out of paper mache because we felt like it, because we were being creative, because our mind was active, because we were imagining things, because we were writing plays, because we were dreaming businesses and putting them into some sort of three-dimensional form. All of the tools that I often use with my clients in terms of business and development and creativity, exercises that move our creative juices, there are no reasons for lack of creativity. We have too many problems. And where there are problems, there are opportunities to be creative. No one says you have to take path A. No one says you have to assume path B. No one is forcing you down road C. No one is saying you have to take avenue E. But what spirit is saying, what creation is saying, what life is saying to us right now is we're going to have to be more creative and stop being lazy and stop allowing our destinies, our paths, to be governed outside of ourselves. For me, and I say this all the time, that was part of the pull for me towards religions of a magical nature. The moving away from victimization, the moving away from vulnerabilities, if you will, the moving away from always being at the behest of something outside of myself, the man, the pastor, you know, the government, the judicial system, you know, the parent, you know, whomever is adversarial at any point along their journey. And ultimately, it is about our own willingness to embrace these opportunities of creativity, to embrace these opportunities to find options and create options where we cannot find options, and then birth that into manifestation. That's magic. That's ritual. So I will be forward with more of the Power Launch here today on this Friday, October 5th, 2012. I invite you to call in and listen in at area code 347-215-8967 when you are indeed ready with your questions, comments, requests. Do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will joyfully bring you into the conversation. All is truly and indeed a blessing. You can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion. It's all just a test. One of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. Ashe. rhythm, which I absolutely love. That rhythm is about, to make it simple, that rhythm is about doing the work. That rhythm is about doing the work. That rhythm has a shuffle and a movement about it that is, you know, danceable if you understand the language that's being spoken, if you will, in the movement and in the rhythm. But the bottom line, it's about doing the work. And we've been talking about that a lot, even on Ifa Wednesdays, even on our regular Hoodoo Voodoo Secret shows, and all aspects of spirituality, religion, community, activism, consciousness. We are at a time right now about doing the work. And doing the work and not having a choice about doing the work. Being in a position to have to put up or shut up. Being in a position for having to move forward, whether we are prepared for moving forward. You know, they warned us for some time about the coming of an event, of some calamity or some change in the politic or some change in the financial structure. And often we either ignore it or we become a part of the ruckus of discussion about it, you know, which often is all about discussion only and nothing more. And discussion has its place, you know, don't get me wrong, discussion has its place. But let's be clear, there are those in our society who are prospering, who are benefiting from the discussion, and then there are those who are just talking about the discussion and are in complete denial of their role, their work, what they have to do in terms of the process. We are being pushed and pulled right now in terms of the vote, you know, why we should vote, why we shouldn't vote, you know, who we should vote for, and all the other stuff that goes along with that. And my position is, do something. We don't have a choice. Do something. So your position is not to vote. Do something. They are sitting back and complaining for the sake of complaining is over. Unless you, again, are in the business of complaining and you're seeing a benefit. I often ask, even in the midst of my consultation, how is that working for you? How is that working for you? It doesn't matter who is in position. It doesn't matter what the prices are. It doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter the weather. And you've heard me say this time and time again. Ultimately, how's that working for you? Because we have to do something. We have to do something. Teaching the Ebo, we talk about Ebo in Ifa, Look on Me, Sensitive, Palo. We talk about Ebo on this side of the water, and to a great degree in Nigeria. But even when we're talking about Hoodoo, we're talking about Voodoo, root work, conjure. We say work with a capital W. And the work is burning the candles. The work is burning the oil lamps. If you ever burn the oil lamp consistently, you know that's a job. Keeping your altars, feeding your deities, caring for your deities in the appropriate manner and within the context of protocol. That's a part of the work. Making the ceremonies is a part of the work. If you are considering yourself a practitioner or visiting a practitioner, if you will, and you're not seeing movement, you're not seeing results, I would look to the connection with the community and with others in terms of the movement of energy. This work, as I said, doing EFI Wednesdays requires ashe. It requires power. It requires energy that is gifted to us by nature, gifted to us by the spirit realm. But we all have a part of it. And it is necessary to move that energy around in a creative, procreative, productive manner. And not to do so only when we are in stress. Even when we go as far back as we know how, in terms of archaeological, ritual, documented practice, we often go back to ancient Egypt. Ritual was a part of getting up in the morning. Ritual was a part of going to bed at night. Ritual was a part of partaking of food and drink and elimination and cleansing and all the things that we now separated from in terms of our daily lives and our daily activity. And we seek ritual, we seek spiritual, we seek religion, we seek church. Generally speaking, when we're under duress, when we're in trouble, when we have a need, when we have a deficit, if you will. And deficit is a good word because often what we're then dealing with is a deficit in spiritual power to address whatever the surprise is, whatever the new event is, whatever the new journey is, the new challenge is, which will always be along our path. Church folk like to refer to that as being prayed up. And in the ritual world, there may not necessarily be an equivalent to that, but you got to do the work. You know, we've got to be prayed up. We've got to be putting in that work. I stand on being a result-oriented practitioner. Stand on it. I'm a Labor Day Virgo, which if you understand astrology and numerology, I'm a number 9, is about order and structure. Things have a season. Things have a time. Things have a date. Things have a beginning and an ending point, which lends itself to my result-oriented disposition. My Odu in Ifa, Irasan Osa, is about doing the impossible successfully, doing that which no one else can do, doing that which is outside the bounds, doing that which is outside the laws. Which, again, going back to my titles and what I do, that is what a Bokor is. That's what an Obia does. Not only do we have to be qualified in more than one tradition, but qualified successfully and be able to do the work successfully, generally without guide, without a rule book, in realms of spirit that are not often tread upon by the orthodox, if you will. So doing the work is crucial to what I do. I've posted pictures recently of another visitor coming in, and I love when people come here to the city. It's one thing to see it on Facebook and see it online. And, you know, people throw up backdrops and, you know, throw up pictures and, you know, and we sort of assume what's going on, particularly if they're not putting themselves in a position where that work can be viewed through a communal scope. You know, are there other people in the pictures? Are there other people participating in the work? So I'm always overwhelmed when people come here, visit, see the house, see the work, see Ashe, see Congo Square, see the people in the community that I talk about, that I post about, and see the reality of the work actively being done. I say it all the time, you cannot practice traditional African-based religious systems in isolation. Never happened, it doesn't happen. Even when you try and, you know, conjure up all the vastness of land and rural area and vastness, you counted on the family and the village and the community for your very survival. Even if it were just from wildlife, the weather, other tribal groups, other ethnicities, you know, the unknown, if you will. So there is no isolation in this work. Even when we consider the implements by which we work with, the Ashe, the energy is shared, it's communal, it's passed down, it's inherited, and it's intricately tied together. That's why you can't just throw out your pots. That's why you can't just trash your implements. It doesn't work that way. It's too many people, too many energies, too many spirits involved in the process. And that's why that adds to, even now in the modern day, that level of secrecy that we're often accused of. Because it's too easy to bring contaminants, that's a good word, contaminants into your spirit work. That's why you remove your shoes. You could bring contaminants into the house physically, even if you can't understand spiritually, physically. You know, do you know how easily you walk through the streets, through the grocery stores, through the public spaces and places, you know, the gas stations, and touch things and pick up contaminants? You know, if you have children, increase that by 10 if you have children. You know, so from a spiritual context, and particularly if you understand that we're operating, especially in the West, in an environment where there's no preparation for spirit, none, very little. Even if you think you be religious, you're going to church, you're going to mosque, you're going to synagogue, there's very little preparation for spirit. And if you are not a part of an organized, you know, structure or religion, and I know this is going to be unpopular, you're even less likely, probably, to have the tools that you need spiritually. Because at the end of the day, you know, there's only certain locations, certain handful of people, certain groups still surviving with living indigenous ritual spiritual practice on the planet. And that limits our connection to them. Do we have connection to them? Absolutely. But we are limited in our connection. We talk all the time about self-educating. I self-educated in many areas of expertise. I taught myself to play the piano. You know, I taught myself many things. But ultimately, without structure, without instruction, without making some connection with people that are actively doing that thing, operating within that thing, teaching that thing, who have some understanding of the philosophy of that thing, you're just a brilliant beginner at best. So we have got to get serious. And I know this has been my message all year. Get serious about committing to the path. And we all have excuses for why not. I'm not even going to waste airtime talking about the excuses for why not. get creative about finding solutions for the why not. But I have much more to say, and I am inviting you to call in and listen in now at area code 347-215-8967 for the Power Lunch Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Sequence and Recipe. I am always honored and grateful to those of you who call in and listen in from your places of employment and businesses, and those who send emails about the show and listen to the show. And the numbers, as I always say, indeed show up in terms of the analysis that comes with the programming aspect of the show. So I'm greatly appreciate for all of you who are being a part of this sacred space. And I do invite you to call in and listen in at 347-215-8967. Do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad when you are ready with your question, comment, or request, remembering that all is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe. somebody is saying, okay, look, I'm doing the work, you know, what are you talking about? You don't know me. I'm doing the work. Beloved, I don't have to be in your house. I don't have to be in your space. I don't have to be in your head. Our projection, our demonstration speaks everything that needs to be known about us, everything. Even for you Bible scholars out there, the Bible says, how else would you know a man but by their spirit? And this is a magical truth. So it's present in divination and reading and divining. It's present in doing spiritual work. So when we say you're a demonstration, well, what does that mean exactly? It's in your walk, it's in your talk, it's in your language, it's how you're living, it's in your routine. Wealthy men and women say success is in your routine. So there are ways, without me being in your house, without me being in your life, without me being in your head, to gauge the balance in terms of that weight and that work. So people say, I'm doing the work, I'm doing the work. And then you just spend 5 minutes in conversation with them. Well, I've got 5 kids. I'm working 50 hours a week. You know, I'm running Little League. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing the other. All it takes is some simple, basic math to put the hours together. And then you say, beloved, well, when are you working on you? Oh, well, but I'm doing that. Okay, but when? When? And under what conditions? With that type of payload. And I've said it time and time again. It's by design that you carry the payload. It is a blessing, but it's also a challenge to live outside of the grid. You know, everybody's talking about living off the grid now, but it takes work to do that. Just like it takes work to truly be committed to ritual, spiritual practices. Now, this is a hoodoo show, Obia show. And I know I got listeners from every type. But in fairness, I can only assume that if you're listening, that you're doing it our way. And our way is by the work. Now, whatever your path is, whatever your tradition is, there's work to be done. I made a quick gist earlier about keeping lamps. You know, that's being taught it as being the authentic line that you're truly doing hoodoo is to keep lamps. But I keep lamps. You know I keep lamps. I got photos. I got videos. Some of y'all have been inside this temple. You know I'm keeping lamps. Do you know how much lamp oil costs? Come on. Do you know how much lamp oil costs? I do. I can call it off the top of my head. Ace Hardware got a big old plastic thing of lamp oil, pure paraffin, costs $26 for a liter. Now, you can go into Walmart and get a big bottle, but it's not quite as big as that. I'm trying to look for it. It's in here somewhere. It's not quite as big as that that Ace Hardware bottle. I'm trying to give you the exact numbers off of it. Well, here we go. one you get at Walmart is 64 fluid ounces for a little bit under $5, which usually lasts, if you're burning oil, lasts consistently about 2, maybe 3 days. And if you burn it more than one, you add that to it. When you look at feeding ancestors, I don't care what your path is, Ifa, Santeria, Voodoo, Halo, witchcraft, your ancestors are crucial to the work. Crucial to the work. That is time consuming. It's like having someone else living in your house. Beloved, I have given recipes. I have given I am given instructions and had people respond to me in under an hour. I've done the work, and no, beloved, come on, let's get serious. Let's get serious. Now, we have a lot of politically correct protocols that we follow nowadays. And that opens up a whole other topic, and I'm going to try desperately not to digress too much on you, because there's a topic that we had going on yesterday that touched on this in terms of pagan and indigenous. Indigenous work is a part of a lifestyle. It involves effort. It involves commitment. It involves community, the involvement of other people in doing the work. So when we dodge that, when we ignore that, when we negate that, when we weaken the value of that, which is all your choice. What do I say? How is that working for you? If that's working for you, you should not then be seeking assistance, right? You should not then be seeking to move beyond a block, right? And blocks that are enduring work me for myself, for others, for people around me, for people that I'm exposed to. Once I have awareness of it, particularly if I'm directly involved in it, let me be clear. Longstanding blocks are irritant for me, because generally speaking, long-standing blocks, and this is not going to be popular, are almost always tied to the person that I'm doing the work with. Irregardless of who launched the attack, where the attack is coming from, what the challenge is, it's in your path, it's your challenge. It's your lesson. So I don't care what the endeavor is. The solution is always directly tied to us, to ourselves. Now, we're not always happy about it. We're not always clear about it. We're not always able to see it and visualize it and make sense of it right away. But how many times have we gotten into situations that did not seem great in the beginning, only to find ourselves in a better off position, in a better off scenario, in a better relationship, in a better job, in a better city, in a better location, only because within that moment, you know, sometimes we just went along, but often we're going along with spirit. Because you really don't have anything else to grasp in that moment but your intuition, but your sense of, you know, this is where I am, this is what I got to do. It don't look clear to me right now, but I know I have to move forward. So always, always be resolution to whatever the request is lies within us. My job as a professional expert practitioner, a part of my job, because my job is complicated, I play many roles, and in some cases too many roles for too many people. So when I speak about doing those things which a person needs to do for themselves, quite often I'm mirroring back, I'm projecting back me. And I am having to learn how to separate other people's stuff from my own, particularly when it is going to be in effect or have an effect on the ministry, which then affects every one of you out there listening to me. So doing the work joyfully, and I use that word hesitantly because, not because I'm having a struggle with it, but because I know some of you are having a struggle with it. Dealing with bereavement, dealing with issues of finances and prosperity, dealing with issues of career, dealing with issues of housing and home ownership and mortgage and foreclosure and all those things. And then you ask me to be joyful in the work, joyful in the EPO. Yes. And it requires something that's consistent in all world religions. Faith. Now, faith is not about believing in or fantasizing even in a reality that does not exist or has the possibility of existence or is out of the bounds of existence or is going to not require our commitment to it. And when I say commitment, you can always attach right behind it responsibility. Commitment always comes with responsibility. You commit to a pot, you are committed to the responsibility of the care. You commit to an implement, you're committed to the responsibility of the care of. The financial blessing, you're committing to the responsibility and stewardship of. And many of us are not showing good stewardship for what we already have. And that carries us right back to joy. Gratitude. Humbling ourselves. Humility before that which we already have. And have already been given and have already been blessed with. And then growing that. Developing upon that. You then have a foundation, a platform, a solid platform for which to move forward with. But it is crucial to commit to the work. It is crucial. Again, if you are listening to this show, this is entertainment for you. I'm not talking to you. If this is just something to listen to, I'm not talking to you. But if you are a magical ritual practitioner of the ATR path, I'm talking specifically to you. We have to do the work. We have to do the EBO. We have to rain or shine. Even when we don't feel like it, even when we got to balance it with the rest of our schedule, we find a way to do that. Now, a part of the sacrifice that many are having to make is about balancing what is spirit from, I'm going to use the word mundane life, everyday life, you know, your housing, your utilities, you know, all that stuff. And our scenarios, our situations, our conditions, our experiences are varied and individual. We understand that, and we make choices, we make decisions within that. You know, we have various number of family members, various number of children, certain amount of space. We're all confronted with that. I was telling one of my godchildren the other day, there was a time that I had all of my altars in one room. I lived in a room at the Y in Chicago. A Y converted into one-room apartment, if you want to call it that. Not even a kitchen or a bathroom. You have to go down the hallway and share a public bathroom. And you could have cooking in your room, but, you know, what? Microwave, hot plate, one of them 3-foot refrigerators, you know. And even in that, I had all my altar work, all of my orishas, ifa, eguns, spiritism in terms of my tarot cards and my other forms of divination that I use, which is kept separately from your orishas and which is kept separately from your eguns. There are rules. Some of you know the rules. That's why I'm saying that extra part. For those of you who don't know the rules, these things have to be kept separate. You don't mix Orisha with Aegons. You don't mix deities with your ancestors and with the dead. They're not made of the same things. So they have to be kept separate. If you have Ifa, hand of Ifa, you don't keep Ifa with your Orishas or with your Aegons. It's kept separately. So when people talk about hardships, I got hardships, beloved. I've been disabled for almost 20 years, living off Social Security and food stamps. I got hardships, beloved. I know a challenge is, beloved, in getting work done and in meeting initiations, in meeting EBOs, in organizing your space. Whatever amount of space you have where you are to do what you need to do. But these things are also symbolic of what we deal with internally. Organizing space to do what you need to do. And some of you have allowed too much clutter of nonsense to take up too much space internally. Rather than to clear that out, sanctify it, consecrate it, claim that space back as sacred space, and then fill it with the power, with the ashe that you need to move forward. I'm always speaking on several things at once. And I don't say that every show because it would get boring, but some of you who've been listening for some time know what I'm talking about. I say it all the time. I'm never talking about one thing. There are multi-layers to what I'm talking about. So when I'm talking about altars, I'm also talking about how we live, how we organize our outward lives and our inner lives, how we organize how we eat, how we drink, how we sleep, how we cleanse, how we purify. We give the deities and the various paths, which also have to be separated. For those of you who know, you are initiated legitimately in Ifa, in Santeria, in Lakomi, in Palo, in Voodoo. Those paths also cannot be kept together. So I know what it is to do that and be in one room. I know what it is to do that and be in a house. I know what it is to do that and be homeless, because I have experienced all of those dimensions of awareness. I have had those experiences personally. So I'm not always sensitive to some of the stuff. I know this. I'm careful about even apologizing for that. Because ultimately, Tachikas means fate, F-A-T-E. And I'm a result-oriented practitioner. And my gift, my Ebo, my Odu, is to break through that which has previously been deemed impossible, undoable. I specialize in results. Difficult, blocked, tedious situations. And then add upon that people's individual stuff. And that's a job. It's a job that requires a lot from me and those whom I work with. And those of you who are finding difficulties in your situation, difficulties in your requests, I implore you, and I'm with you on your journey, I implore you to go deeper. To go deeper. If we have time to discuss the complaints, we have time to discuss the solutions. If we have time to go over what's happening that we don't want, we have time to go over what we do want. And to reinforce that. Sometimes our ancestors ask a lot for us. And remember, we have known and unknown ancestors. We all have family secrets. We all have stuff unknown to us that we are doing work for, not only for ourselves when we work Egun and ancestors, but for our families and for each other. That work does not end. No boredom there. But also, when we're dealing with Eshu, Ilegwa, Legba, and again, for clarity, these deities are not the same. They're not made the same. They're not dealt with in the same manner. And then they have roads. Some say 21, some say hundreds of roads for these deities. And they have to be dealt with accordingly. But even in the most generic sense of information that we have about the deities that govern the crossroads, one of the first words that come to mind is trickster. And what does that mean? You know, some people say, oh, well, he's the devil. Well, no. He is the devil that is in us and that we are and can be. For indeed, there is no bigger devil than that which we bestow upon ourselves. The wrongs that we do ourselves, the blocks that we do ourselves, the karmic repercussions that we set up for ourselves, And quite often this is done privately, secretly, unknowingly. You know, those things which hold some of the most intense karma for us are those things that nobody or very few people even really know about. You know it, spirit knows it, and the forces that govern karma know it. But then outside of that, there's all that stuff that we carry from past lives, that we carry through generational curses, that we carry through family lines, that we work with and work through with the deities that govern the crossroads. Eshu can be tricky. I'm uncomfortable with the trickster nature, but it is so. It is so. But it is in the understanding, I think, that we get lost. He does not trick us. We trick ourselves. We trick ourselves. And I have yet to find anyone innocent before Eshu in terms of the trick. There are components that go together that make that power work. And for those who have received Eshu legitimately, you know there are certain things intricately tied to the receiving of Eshu that bring in that contractual relationship to the karma. So, in all things, whatever the path, we seek our ancestors' assistance, and we call on the guardians that open and close doors, the guardians of the crossroads, the guardians that carry the keys to the mysteries of the world, the guardians that govern karmic repercussion, the guardians that govern justice and balance. And then we seek our highest level of consciousness. In Ifi and Lakomi and Santeria, we call that Ori, your head, if you will. In Voodoo Grand Tet, in Kemet or ancient Egypt, I believe it was the Ka, which was the anointed spirit or the evolved spirit of the individual. And those three make up a archetype symbolized by the triangle, the three-sided triangle, symbolized by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, symbolized by Mother, Father, Child, symbolized by two bodies of genetic material coming together and then becoming something new, something different. Symbolized by the math of 1 + 1 = 2. Symbolized by the quantum metaphysical understanding of defensive coming together with the offensive to produce something new, something transformative. We have got to begin to get serious about doing the work. And if we were all doing the work, the amount of evidence would be overwhelming. So For those of you just joining the show, I laid out a sort of map at the beginning in terms of the evidence of doing the work. I don't have to be in your life. I don't have to be in your house. I don't have to know you personally to know if that work is being done. Some of you, third eye wide open, know the work is being done here. You know the work is being done here, and you keep coming and photographing it and sharing it and videotaping it because the work is being done. We would like to grow that on a much bigger scale. There's things that we need, things that we must do, that we cannot do without you, without your assistance, without your hands, without your energy, without your ashe, without your financial contributions, without your patronage of the spiritual services, without your coming to Congo Square and feeding the ancestors. But we are moving forward, and I'm going to share more of that in coming days and shows. We're going to have some very special guests, both locally and internationally, and we're going to talk about growing as a community, as a cooperative community, as we move forward. I will be forward with more of the Power Lunch, Hoodoo New Orleans, Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here with the Divine Prince on Blog Talk Radio. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Ofenanyo nofeya ananu ofeye. Ofenanyo nanu bueno wedie.
Ofenanyo nofeya ananu.
Ofenanyo nofeya ananu ofeye. Ofenanyo nanu bueno wedie.
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 Ogagara nanu fae. Emiso nanu cheboa, emiso ajina pret, legwe sonu nanu cheboa.
Ohahara nanu pae, emiso nanu cheboa.
Emiso ajina preti, legwe sonu nanu cheboa.
Ohahara nanu pae, emiso nanu cheboa.
Emiso ajina preti elegbe sonu nanu cheboa.
Ohahara nanu fae, emiso nanu seboa.
Emiso ajina preti elegbe sonu nanu cheboa.
Ohahara nanu fae, emiso nanu seboa.
Emiso ajina preti elegbe sonu nanu cheboa.
Ohahara nanu fae.
Ero nanu we nanu e.
Emiso enu.
Ero nanu we nanu e.
Emiso enu.
Ero nanu we nanu e.
Emiso enu.
Ekelesi ekelesi.
Emiso enu.
Ekelesi ekelesi.
Emiso enu.
Ero nanu we nanu e.
Emiso enu.
Ero nanu we nanu e.
Emiso enu.
Ekelesi ekelesi.
Emiso enu.
Ekelesi ekelesi.
Emiso enu.
Ekelesi ekelesi.
Emiso enu.
Ero nanu we nanu e.
Emiso enu.
mia we burukusa we
nana sa we
e mia we aboyosa we
nana sa we
obirikaya burukusa we
nana sa we
obirikaya aboyosa we
nana sa we
e mia we burukusa we
nana sa we
e mia we aboyosa we
nana sa we
obirikaya
seeing the result. seeing the work, seeing the effort. So it's very different when you have someone who is, you know, sort of set themselves up as a telephone or internet psychic, and, you know, they're sitting behind their computer and smoking their cigarette or, you know, eating their pizza or doing whatever, playing their video games and sort of waiting on you to contact them and get some advice, as opposed to connecting with a practitioner such as myself who is actively involved in doing ritual work on a daily basis. It's a lot. It's more than I could ever explain to you here on air on the show, which is why, again, I am always truly humbled and honored by the people who take their time, take their resources, and come here to New Orleans to see what's going on. What are you really doing? What are you doing with my resources? What are you doing in the community? Is what I'm seeing on Facebook legitimate? So I'm truly honored by those who make that journey. We even have a new resource in terms of accommodations, which is not before me right now. Miss Jessie lives about four blocks from me, has a beautiful antebellum mansion on the corners of Jackson and Brainard, that red and white structure, for those of you who are looking on Google Map right now. Beautiful place, African-American owned property and establishment, beautiful suites available for your accommodations to visit here in New Orleans to have your spiritual work done or to see the city. And of course, Mardi Gras is in February of this year, I believe mid-February. I want to say it's the 15th, but don't quote me on that. So you want to definitely start getting your plans together. Finding accommodations really from today onward will become more and more difficult with each and passing day because of the number of holidays, the number of events, the number of tourists that come to our city this time of year. This is the beginning of the tourist season for us. The summer is a slow season because it's too hot for many people to come here and even understand the type of heat that we deal with in the most southern tropical part of the country. But we are now going into the tourist season. We're even hosting the Super Bowl in January this year. So space is going to be very limited in terms of hotels, bed and breakfasts, and all those things. So there are many who have been talking about coming, who have been thinking about coming. You really need to begin to crystallize your plans. And of course, I'm here for you. Just get with me privately on Facebook or by email or whatever, and I'll be more than happy to assist you in getting that together. There's always space. We'll find you space. But if you wait to the last minute, it's going to be more and more difficult. So get some clarity on that. Know that I'm indeed with you. I'm doing a lot of work right now. So there are at least a dozen people right now who are listening who I'm doing work for. We're on the money. This is a time, and I'm going to do a show about that in the coming days. We're in a season right now where we have a series of consecutive Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. And people are looking at that as being a sign of prosperity being spoken to us through, you know, through the horoscopes, through astronomy, through astrology. I don't necessarily agree with that. I do agree that there is a portal open that is increasing financial prosperity, but it's not based on those numbers that people are looking at specifically. That's very visible. So it's being used as a marketing tool to sort of promote that vibration, which I'm okay with if you're clear about what's really going on. But no, there is something completely different scientifically that is going on in the skies that is producing sort of this entryway right now for prosperity. And I really even believe that Romney and his team are aware of this. We're long aware of this ahead of time, which is another reason why they decided to move forward right now on their endeavors and entering the presidential race and the whole thing at this particular juncture in history because of this energy that is stirring right now. And many, those who understand, those who know, are working now to tap that anointing. And we're going to talk about how to do that in coming shows and in coming days. And I, again, I'm always appreciative of your time, your effort, your commitment here to the Power Lunch Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes with the Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince, Thai Potions, and Hoodoo Central at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Block Talk Radio. The live listen-in and call-in number is always 347-215-8967. And when you want to speak, you do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will assuredly respond to you momentarily. All is a blessing. Ashe. somebody said, how could that even be possible? Sure, you got a unusual configuration of numbers lining up. That only happens every, 832 years, something like that. Sure, you are laying down now tracks, foundation in numerology for occurrences within that number and moving forward. But to try and tie anything ancient, anything modern, using the calendar, your premise is already off. We're not even using the same calendar that the ancients used. We're not using the same calendar the Mayans used. We're not using the same calendar the Ethiopians used. We're not using the same calendar the Egyptians used. We're not even using the same calendar Caesar used, to be quite frank. And some changes and some manipulations have been added over the centuries that affect the ratios in terms of trying to tie something ancient astrologically to a modern day event. If you have not included in the equation of that difference and the change of the calendar structure. For those of you who know, and some of you who don't know, you're about to find out right now. Those of us who practice Ifa, those of us who practice Santeria, those of us who practice Lakomi do not follow the same calendar as you. Yes, we live in the world, we live in America, we live in the West, we live in the Americas, Puerto Rico, Cuba, wherever. We know Monday through Friday, we know Saturday and Sunday, we, you know, January through December. And, you know, it's cute when I see, you know, come Monday morning, you know, everybody puts, I've done it, you know, you put up your SU, you put up your leg, but within the system, we're not operating on that. We actually are operating on a four-day system in Ifa. In fact, Wednesday was Osa Obatala, so today is Osa Ogun. And the deities that we feed, present, deal with on Osogun are Ogun, Ochosi, Ija, Igbe, the warriors in general. So many of you would associate the warriors with Monday or Tuesday or the crossroads. And on the surface, you would be correct. But if you're not actively participating, actively seeking to initiate, actively seeking to become a part of the functioning of these authentic indigenous traditions, you're not getting it all. Even here on my show, there are things that I say here on my show that have completely different meanings for the listener, dependent upon where you are in your spiritual journey, where you are in your level of awareness, where you are in your level of education about Ifa, about Lakomi, about Voodoo, about Obia, about Santeria, about Hoodoo. And it's in the title of the show, it's in the tags of the show, it's in my name. I talk about all of them consistently without beginning or ending, without often, you know, painting a line of marking time, you know, when I'm now talking about this, I'm now talking about that. I do it occasionally. I may clear that issue. Ilegwa, Legba are not the same deity and are not made the same way and are not approached the same way within these authentic traditions. But that's rare in terms of my taking the time and stop and point that out. And I do that because it wouldn't make sense. You know, the show would turn into a big, you know, college course or a debate, you know, whose path over what path and over details. And I would never be able to stick to a theme, stick to the material, stick to a subject without having to every few seconds explain something. And particularly getting into the treacherous waters of having to explain things publicly on air that should not be explained publicly on air. So I'm not being egotistical now. I'm very conscious of what I say, what I do, how I put this show together. I'm going into my four and a half year, I believe, of doing this show. So, you know, this isn't an accident. This is something that I just kind of threw together. But it is crucial, crucial that we get serious, that we commit now more than ever to the work, to initiating, to becoming authenticated and legitimized within the past, the various paths that we represent here on this show. And there are many of you who are listening, I know, have already done that and are doing that. I know, okay. But there are many who are listening who are still trying to figure it out. And I understand trying to figure it out. I do. But, beloved, you got to get serious and you got to start somewhere if you're expecting to see the results that I keep promising and the results that we are standing on and begin to see that manifestation happen for you and within your life, other than just hiring remedies, other than just, you know, seeking help when you're in desperate circumstances, but really making your life about spirit. Please do join me here tomorrow at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time on the Power Lunch, Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes. More to say, more to share, more to teach. More work to be done. All is indeed and truly a blessing. Ashe.
Papa loco muembra wiagoe. Papa loco muembra. Brena si ba demore si bueno batala wama. Si ni boga funu la bonye va aide nous.
Papa loco muembra.
you're bringing your money home and you're not keeping it in a consistent place every night, you might be experiencing financial blocks. If you're taking your money out and you're laying it out with the faces pointing up and not down, where you cannot see them, you might be experiencing financial blocks. If you are visiting cemeteries, public intersection ways like banks and big Walmarts and parking lots and places where many paths cross routinely, or where the dead exist, the cemeteries, and you are not cleansing using a product like Florida water or your own mixture of rose water and ammonia to block energy, you could be creating holes in your financial prosperity. If you are keeping Eshu Legba in your house, he's not placed in the right place, the right position in your house, and it's not being cared for properly, you can be experiencing financial blocks. If you have Oshun, or you are working Oshun, and you have not received Oshun by way of a legitimate ceremony, you could be risking holes in your financial pockets. If you are not keeping fresh running water in your house or on your property, you may be experiencing financial blocks. And there are many creative ways to do that. Fish tank is one of them. You can get wishing wells and tabletop water fountains almost anywhere now. Not cheap. I mean, reasonable price, but not cheap manufactured products. I mean, really good products. Otherwise, you could be experiencing financial blocks, particularly if you live somewhere dry like Atlanta, somewhere dry like Denver can be at certain times of the year, anywhere where you are experiencing drought, Texas, you have got to bring in fresh running water. Many of you already know I have fountains. I have two aquariums. I once had 7 aquariums, but it got to be too much. So now I just keep the one big one and the one smaller one beneath. If you are not feeding your ego, you could be experiencing financial blocks. If you are not keeping your financial promises, contracts, debts, you can and will be experiencing financial blocks. And these include the contracts that some of you are making flippantly to these crazy practitioners all along the internet, talking about when I hit the lottery, when I do this, when I do that, I'm going to come back and I'm going to break you off a piece. You are setting yourself up. Financial contracts in the spirit realm. Just like these chain letters, spiritual contracts that we are playing a game with, that we don't take seriously, that we're passing around, that works for me. I don't care what the material of the document is. Don't threaten me to pass it on. That immediately stamps it with a big red negative energy pattern. I don't care what the original intent was. It's a forced contract. It's a contract by hoodwink. It's a contract by deception. It's a contract by emotional ploy. excuse me. And when you understand and you listen to it from that perspective, not correct, you sullied what could have otherwise been a positive thing. I have the same attitude in terms of marketing. I don't strong arm market anybody. I don't post stuff on your page. I don't send you excessive emails. I don't call you at home. I don't do all those things. I'm usually going about my work, and then when things get hot, I hear from many of you. Some of you I hear from a little bit more often, but I'm trying to make a point. You know what I mean. So we have got to get serious about doing the work. Some of y'all should be hearing from way more often with a completely different message, with a completely different tone, with a completely different request. And I'm not going to say what that is because, again, you know, I have my ways of figuring out how people is doing the work. But one of those ways is by what you're asking me about and what you're asking me for. And if you're serious about doing the work, there are things that we need to keep things on track. I'm surprised at the number of people who aren't clear on prayers, who don't ask about prayers, who aren't even thinking about prayer. Now, you got a pretty little altar, but, okay, how do you communicate with the spirit, the deity? How do you placate it? How do you call it? How do you respond to it? I mean, come on, come on. Come on, people. Let's get serious about ritual work. Serious. And if you don't have, then you go to a temple, then you go to a priest, then you go to a priestess that does have. And you learn and you get what you need. And you take that home. And share that with your family and your community. Until next time, all is indeed a blessing. Ashe.